27 April 1973 in the office of Councilwoman O'Connor. Ms. O'Connor, would you please start with your background?
Yes. I was born July 14, 1946, San Diego, California, at Mercy Hospital. I received my elementary education at St. Vincent de Paul School, secondary education at Rosary High School, San Diego, and a BA degree in psychology at San Diego State, with a minor in recreation.
And just prior to assuming elective office, you worked where?
Worked at Rosary High School as a physical education teacher counselor.
So can you give me some background on what your inspiration was for entering politics?
I felt that the local government was unresponsive to the people's needs, so I wanted to become more involved, and the only way to become more involved was to do something about it, so I decided to run for office. I have had no political experience of any kind whatsoever up until that time.
Were there any particular incidents that you could relate?
Oh, just, I used to be a professional swimmer, and I toured with the Wide World of Sports, and the Los Valladares Indians also toured with me. And they were here for the 20th year anniversary, and I was their interpreter. And they were, from my point of view, mistreated as far as the city goes. So that was my first baptism into local government, and I was displeased with that, and I felt that there had to be a better way. I think that was my first spark of interest in at that time.
At the point that you decided to run for elective office, what were the steps that you took?
Well, first I announced that I was going to run, and then I had to find a campaign manager, so I asked my sister, my twin sister Mavorni. She said she would do it. We checked out a couple books on how to win an election, and we started to organize our campaign, which at that time they gave us about a 1% chance of winning, because 18-year-olds did not have the vote. It was almost unheard of for somebody age 24 to be elected to a council seat of this size.
When you said that you announced that you were going to run, what exactly did that entail?
Just a public announcement at my high school. I announced on March 17th that I was going to run for city council seat that was going to be vacated by Sam Lofton, who was retiring. And at that time, it was new to everyone, including a lot of political people who felt that I just did not have a chance. Therefore, they did not support me in the primary. It was literally, we walked the precincts. It was my twin sister, myself, and a lot of young people, and a lot of my friends, and a lot of older people that I knew, just not political people, but just my friends that believed in the cause.
You felt that St. Patty's Day was a good
yes.
day to announce that?
That's right.
Tell me, do you feel that the female part of your contingent that helped you in this campaign was particularly significant?
Well, I think it was significant in the fact that I taught at an all-girls high school, and the majority of my walkers were young ladies, and my campaign manager was a young lady. So I would have to say they played a major, significant role in my campaign.
How about the other organizers of the campaign, other than the young ladies that walked door-to-door for you?
We did not have a campaign committee as such. The main organizer in the whole campaign was my twin sister Mavorni. She set out the calendar of events and the plan of attack and everything, and she was the main one. We did not have a committee as such. It was Mavorni and I basically making the decisions.
Since you've been in office, what has been your attitude and the reaction of their council members towards you? Not because of the fact that you may be a little bit younger, but because of the fact that you're a woman.
I do not think it's a negative reaction at all. If anything, I think it's positive. I think that I've had to prove in myself as my ability to work under the system and work as a professional, but once that standard was established, I haven't had no problem. I mean, they've been very cooperative.
I noticed in your campaign literature that you made the statement several times that you realize that you're going to work twice as hard. Now, assuming that this has occurred, do you feel that this has put the other people on the council more or less on their guard so that they probably did their homework a little bit better to anticipate your aggressiveness?
I think that by working, well, we work about 60 to 70 hours a week here and have a lot of young people working with me, and we do a lot of going back out into the precinct, surveys, newsletters, numerous involvement of the people type of activities, and I would have to answer yes, that they've never been done before up until this time, and it has set a precedent, and a lot of the council are following in that same vein. So I would say that if I were not here, it would, you know, have a tendency to be the status quo, but by being here, we have changed it.
Do you feel that your example as a councilwoman in the city here is setting some sort of example for other young women in the community, communities elsewhere that are aware of your position, and was drawing them into public life?
Yes, I think that just by the fact that I am maintaining a seat on the city council, that it is making more people aware of the role of women in government and their responsibility, and that they can handle the responsibility. But then on the other hand, too, you also have to make women aware of what the job entails, which is, it's almost a vocation if you get it at this young of age, which, you know, I'm almost like the guinea pig because I'm in so young that I am the youngest woman in any major city that's serving on the city council. So what I do, whether I fail or whether I succeed, it'll set the road for the others. So I have a big responsibility to succeed for the others to follow.
Of the business that has come up before the council since you've been a member, are there any particular areas that you feel more qualified because you are a woman?
Well, one, we passed the Women's Affirmative Action Program. I'm involved in that, mainly because I am a woman. A lot of the social programs, I think women have more sensitivity in that area. Well, I can't speak more women because I'm the only one on the council, but I am more sensitive to those areas than, say, a lot of the day-to-day business routines and buildings and things like that. So I just think it's a matter of individual choice where you want to concentrate your time. And I have chosen to concentrate my time on social programs like, better recreation facilities and social programs for seniors and youth programs and things of this nature.
Is that what makes up this affirmative action program you're talking about?
Affirmative Action Program, we are trying to bring in more women on the executive levels and the professional levels, as opposed to just, quote, the typical woman's job up until this time has been like secretary or assistant to, instead of being department head. We have one department head other than myself that is a woman, and that is Pauline DeGrange, who works in the recreation. She's head of the recreation department. So we are trying to set a plan where we're going to get more women involved on the executive levels.
Women bring any special qualities to politics, such as in these social activities as you just mentioned?
Well, I think any individual brings special qualities. It depends on the individual. And I don't have a lot to compare by because I'm working with basically an all-male body aside from myself. So all I can tell you is the qualities that I bring, because I rarely have time to sit down and talk with other women in politics because they're rare and far between, and when we do get together, we're basically discussing, you know, governmental issues that concern us all, whether we're male or female. You know, inflation is common to all, this type of thing. But and then we also discuss our specialized field, which, you know, how to get more women involved in politics, which is a unique problem.
Do you find that because of your age that you are unique politics? In other words, do you find that the majority of women in politics or women involved in social work are much older, women who have had a family, children are raised?
Yes, I think I can answer the question for women in politics, but the majority of women that are involved in politics now, there are a few of us that are young, but there are the vast majority are, a lot of them have won their seats because they are widows to a congressman or a senator, and the other ones are, well, they've got to be in their late 40s, early 50s. And it's not a problem for them. They have raised their families, but us that are coming up in the ranks, it's a balance. You know, a lot of us aren't even, we're not even married. And you've got to make that decision. Are you going to make it a vocation? If you make it a vocation, I think that you can safely say that you will not be able to participate in, quote, a traditional life, type of family life. And I think that's just being realistic, because if you study the records, that politicians, that, one, they don't have typical family lives, and it's very difficult for families of political leaders. And especially, I think it would be very difficult a family of a young political woman who is a leader in the community. But I do not have a family now, so I have not crossed that.
Am I correct, Ms. Amina, this is your full-time job?
Yes, I used to teach high school, but I had to give it up because theoretically it's a part-time job, but I'm putting in about 60 to 70 hours a week.
Does that give you enough confidence to feel like you're just one step ahead of the rest of the council because of the advantage of the extra time that you have to put in on the job?
I don't know if I'm one step ahead. I would just say that I'm just as aware of what's going on and feel for the community, maybe more so than those that, it's just, in any job, it's like school. Those that prepare, they might not necessarily be smarter than the others, it's just that they're prepared. And I think that I have to be prepared just to be able to stay in.
Since you come into elective office, I asked around about you before I came down here, and from some of the people at school, I got the impression that your name was associated with very liberal ideas. I didn't get that impression from your campaign literature. And my question is, since you've been in office, do you feel that you have perhaps become a little bit more conservative as far as your approach to what you intend to do when you got in office?
Well, number one, I don't believe in labels, conservative versus liberal. I would say that, if anything, I think the council has become more liberal. And I take every issue as an issue. I don't take it whether, you know, because I'm a liberal person versus I'm a conservative person, because I have not decided what type of an individual I am, because I'm just, you know, self-concept is very hard to define, especially when you're age 26, and it's, you know, you're not really gelled in whether you're liberal or conservative. I think it's, you know, the main issue is the problem. And I've seen over a period of 15 months where one of my colleagues, I believe in free public transportation, who was violently opposed to free public transportation last week, just came out and said he would support it. And to me, he's an older gentleman, and that's coming a long way. So I think that we are meeting a happy balance, and to me that's very encouraging. So whether I'm liberal or conservative, I'm just me, and it, you know, I think I do have an effect.
Have you found that you've been drawing a segment of the female population of the city to your standard, or have you found that you've been getting more support from the women?
I don't know how to answer that. It depends on the issue. But as far as drawing women into the political level, I would have to say yes, because I have a staff of, if you've noticed, we don't go by secretary or assistants or anything. We don't have any titles in this office. But the majority of the people that are working in this office are young women. And I've recruited them from the college campuses, and they receive 3 units of credit, and they are involving themselves, and hopefully I will encourage them just through the learning process and the example to get involved in some level of government, whether it's elected office, appointed office, or just working for an elected official, but to keep them involved on the governmental level.
Do you have any future plans?
Not at this moment. I have no future plans. Right at this moment, I'm just thinking about my future as an individual, what I want to accomplish, and I have no future plans at this moment, whether to run or not to run for office. My only future plan is to do a good job while I'm here.
Could you briefly give me tell me what you feel is an evaluation of your performance so far in office? Are you satisfied with your job, with the way you perform the job?
Well, you always reevaluate your year. You're satisfied in one hand and very dissatisfied in the other, because there's always more that you think you can do. And I'm always, at the end of the year, I always have a little guilt feeling because I'm not doing enough. and hopefully I'm doing a satisfactory job, but I, as an individual, cannot judge my ability. It's, you know, the people in the community are the real judges of how I'm doing versus how I'm not doing. And I just hope that I'm doing an honest, you know, straightforward job, and what I believe in, I believe in, and I think that's important.
The Women's Liberation Movement, as it is, what's your feelings toward that?
I think it's good on one hand, and I think it has problems on the other. It's just like any movement. I think you really don't, women have their problems, they have their money as far as equal employment, equal pay, educational background, what have you. But on the other hand, we also have a problem of, well, it's just a bunch of old, you know, screaming women not being able to, you know, frustrated females, as, you know, the connotation that other people have about the women's liberation movement. I don't necessarily believe that, but I believe that if a woman is doing her job and doing it well, she's not standing up and saying, I am a woman, because that's just as, almost as bad as saying, well, he got that job because he's a man. And I don't believe in that. I believe in getting the job because of the ability. And a lot of women have the ability. They've just never thought that they had the ability or thought that they had the intelligence to do such and such. And I'm thinking now, because of the women's movement, that they're becoming more aware of, you know, their self-concept and thinking, yeah, I can do it. And I think this is important. And I don't think that you should expect the job because you're a woman. I think that you should expect that job and go after that job because you're a well-qualified individual and you can prove yourself. And I think that they're doing this now, and that is, I don't want us to get into the same bag as everybody else, saying, well, we want this because we are a woman, not because we're, you know, qualified, or not because we think that we have the ability to handle a job. It's just because we're a woman, and I don't believe in that. I think that if we can get away from that connotation and do it as individuals, we can make an impact, and there are individual women making an impact all over, even before the Women's Liberation Movement. They've had their place. Eleanor Roosevelt certainly made an impact, and she was long before the Women's Liberation Movement, because she believed in her cause, and she followed through with it, and she had a goal, and she obtained it. And I have all the respect in the world for individuals like that. But more Eleanor Roosevelts will become aware of their ability through that movement. But I don't want them to be hampered either.
She's a good example. She's one in several million people.
Sure, she's one in several million people, but there's a lot of little Eleanor Roosevelts under the rock that don't think they have the ability. And the point is, they're individuals. And you have to believe in yourself as an individual, whether you're a male or a female, whether you're a minority or a non-minority. You have to believe in self. And I'm saying, once you overcome that hurdle, the world is, you know, basically yours. And that's, you know, I didn't press women or youth, I just pressed involvement and getting involved. And yes, I was a woman, and yes, I was young, but don't vote for me for those reasons. Vote for me because you believe in me as a person. And this is hopefully what they voted for me for.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome. I hope I gave you enough.